Goodness gracious. And I love how that song ends. Guys, I hope that is your prayer individually. I hope you remind yourself of that. Y'all, life is hard. It's really hard. And we go through these seasons, you know, where we're killing it. We're like, man, everything's good. And then like in the blink of an eye, it's like you just get hit. And it's hard. And sometimes we have this tendency to try to bear the weight of that. We're going to talk about bearing things this morning as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes you walk through these doors and I see it in your face. I see it in your posture. And we are trying to bear things we are not meant to bear. And so sometimes it is important to preach to ourselves, God, I depend on you. I depend on you. That is our prayer as a church is we enter this time of giving. We've been worshiping God through song. We're going to worship God through sacrifice, through giving. We do want you to know that if you're visiting with us this morning, we have no intention that you would give today. Instead, we'd rather give you something. In the chair in front of you is a card that says welcome. In a moment, we'll turn on the lights. If you would fill out that card while we are all making our gifts, giving our tithes and our offerings, at the end of the service, if you'll take that card to our welcome center, the big desk you saw when you walked in, we just have a gift to say thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. For the rest of us, guys, this is our time. And so a couple ways you can give. You can use the envelope in the chair in front of you. It is white and green. It says tithe. You drop it off at the offering boxes in the back. There's these huge posters say worship God through giving. Offering boxes at the bottom. You guys can also scan the QR code behind me. It takes you to our online giving provider, PushPay. We love them. Guys, you can set up your first online gift in about a minute. It just doesn't take that long. It'll text you. You put in information. You can also set up recurring giving through PushPay, which is really nice if you're out sick, if you're on vacation. Your gift still gets to the storehouse. And so I'm going to pray for our offering. We're just going to cry out together as a body. God, we depend on you. Our church depends on you. Man, what we do here depends on you. Our kids' ministries, our adult ministries, everything we do is literally fully dependent upon the Lord. Father, we have nothing to give. We have nothing to bring except for our heart, for a contrite spirit to bring before you and say, God, here we are. And God, we wish we could give you better, but this is us. We're just kind of a collective mess. But God, you are so good. We depend on you. We depend on you for wisdom. We depend on you for breath. We depend on you for life. And God, we depend on you as a church to provide for the mission that you've called us to see families in Elgin, Texas transformed by the gospel. God, that's the mission. And so, Lord, just step in now. Continue to show us your hand of provision. We ask it in Jesus' holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. We're going to give you about 45 seconds to a minute to give, and then I'll jump back out and we will jump into God's Word together. Thank you so much. Thank you. right. Amen. Guys, if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in John 15 and Galatians 5. I know I said that last week and we didn't actually get to Galatians 5 that we talked about. We are going to be in both of them this morning, I promise. We're also going to ask you to grab a bulletin of some kind. If you got one of these, it's cool. There's a special insert in it because we're going to take a little test this morning together in here. Do not take it yet. All right, you got to wait on instructions. It's very important. It's a timing-based test, so you can't do that yet. You can also download our digital notes. They're right here. Scan the QR code. They, too, have the little test in it. So it doesn't matter which way you choose this morning. It's all going to be good. I'm going to pray for us in a second, but I just want to remind you what we're doing. Last week, we started this brand-new series called Abide, and we kind of learned, listen, there is one thing that leads to living a life of eternal significance. There's one thing that matters more than everything else if we want our time on earth to be spent storing up treasures in heaven. If we want to do, as the scripture says, we want our lives to be about producing fruit that lasts. And that one thing is learning how to remain or abide in this personal relationship with Jesus. And last week I talked to you about the difference between a relationship and what we would call really a ritual or a routine, right? It's very easy when we get to church to kind of come up with checklists, if I do this and that, but that's not necessarily the same thing as a relationship. So we talked about four keys to that relationship. We talked about prayer, and we talked about study, and that's because Jesus said, hey, if you want to remain in me and I in you, you have to obey what I command. So the third is obedience, but in order to obey Jesus, we got to know what he says. And so it's prayer, it's study, it's obedience. And then that last one is that hard part we're trying to learn is how to keep in step with the Spirit or to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. And we said, hey, those four things are going to be key. Now that one sermon is you're meant to go back to because starting this morning and on, we're just going to talk about what the fruit of the Spirit are, how they're supposed to manifest themselves in our life. And if we're not seeing that, we got to go back to that first sermon and go, okay, what do I need to be working on in order to see this stuff? So with all that in mind, I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word. We're going to jump in. Again, we're going to be in John 15 and Galatians 5. Father God, thank you so much for allowing us to gather in worship. Lord, we are about to study your Word. We know that your Word is alive, that it is active, that it's sharper than a double-edged sword, that it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. And we just say unto you, God, we need all that this morning. Holy Spirit, we know that you are a gift from Jesus himself. And we know that your role in our life is to be our teacher and our guide, our counselor. Holy Spirit, you are also the teacher of the church. And so would you come now and take your place in our pulpit? Would you fill it this morning? And would you teach us the word of Jesus from the inside out? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So guys, if you have your Bibles, again, I'm in John chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse 5 this morning. We'll read through 17, and Jesus is speaking. He says this, he says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he's thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. And then Galatians 5, starting in verse 16, we'll read through 18 and then skip down to 22. It says, Paul writes, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, skipping down to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Three things I want to share with you this morning is we talk about this first fruit of the Spirit. Here's the first, guys. I want you to understand the first sign that we have been born of God, the first sign that we have been born of God and are indeed abiding in Christ is that our lives are marked by a deep and sincere love for God and others. Okay? Let me say that again. The first sign that we have been born of God and are abiding in Christ is that our lives are marked by a deep and sincere love for God and for others. Our first application point last week was believe in Jesus, right? Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. And the reason for that is this whole series is about spiritual fruit. You can't produce any spiritual fruit unless you've been born of the Spirit of God. And this is the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to him under the cover of night. He's like, hey, what do I have to do to receive this eternal life thing? And so Jesus starts his conversation with him about being born again. He says this in John 3:3. Jesus replies, truly I tell you, Nicodemus, unless someone is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He explains further in verse 6, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. And all that kind of leads to this open declaration in John 3:16, most famous Bible passage there is, when he says, for God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is you have to believe in me to be born again, right? And y'all, that's where it starts. We become children of God by putting our faith and trust in Jesus, that he is indeed the Son of God, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and that he rose again, and that then he then commissioned us to go and make disciples. And now he is in heaven and we are working for his glory, for the kingdom, doing what he's commanded us to do, right? And so that's what this is all about. And so to bear spiritual fruit, we first have to be born of the Spirit. That happens by believing in Jesus and Lord. What I'm saying to you this morning is the first fruit after that, the first fruit after that, after putting your faith and trust in Jesus, the first sign that you should see that you're indeed a child of God and that you're abiding in Christ, the first sign is love. It's love, right? And there's a couple huge reasons for that. The first and foremost is because God is love, right? Because God is love. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. And the one who remains in him, hello, that's what we're talking about, right? Abiding. And the one who remains in God, and God remains, like literally, God is love. The one who remains in love remains in God. That's what it's about. It's about abiding. And it says, and God will remain in him. And so the first reason that love is that first spiritual fruit that we see is because God is love. The second is because Jesus kind of said so. Right? Jesus clearly implies in John 15 that understanding what he has done for us should then result in us loving one another. He puts it this way in verse 10. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Skip down to verse 12 and 13. Here's the command. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. He says, no one has greater love than this to lay down his life for his friends. The very next verse, he says, you're my friends. What Jesus is saying, y'all, is listen, you need to love one another the way that I am loving you, the way that I will love you. He's talking about the cross. He's like, I'm going to lay down my life for your sake, and what I do for you should matter. What I do for you should have a very real effect on how you treat others. The fact that I, God, right? I, God, eternally God, who have lived in glory forever and chose to step down in humanity, that I chose to be sacrificed for you, that should matter. That should be your driving force in how you treat one another. That's the first sign that you really belong to God and that you are indeed abiding in Christ's love, right? And all of this in context is a conversation about bearing spiritual fruit. All of it, that's the context of that. that he wants us to bear spiritual fruit, that only happens by abiding in Jesus. Then we get to Galatians, and the first fruit mentioned by the Apostle Paul on the list, 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So listen, first and foremost this morning, the first sign that we have been born of God and that we are indeed remaining in Jesus, the first sign is that our lives are marked by a deep and sincere love for God and a love for others. It's a question we've got to ask ourselves. Are we seeing that? Are we seeing that? Like, remember the greatest command, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your, like, that's the bar, y'all. And so when we're off that bar, we got to have that honest conversation. I said, God, man, I'm sorry. Man, help me restore, help me return to my first love. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So that's the first thing. Second thing I want to share with you guys is that this spiritual fruit of love is easily identifiable because it's supernatural. If you're like, I wonder if I'm doing this, it's pretty easy to figure it out. Okay, it really is. The spiritual fruit of love is easily identifiable because it is supernatural. So how do we define love? I don't know about you, but in my life, it is usually attached to my emotions, right? It is hot, it is cold, it is up, it is down. It's based on performance, on I don't know if they're going to love me. I wasn't very good, or how I expect they feel about me, how they're treating me. My love is so dependent on so many factors. But when I read the words of Jesus and John, you guys get that sense he's talking about some kind of deeper love? He's talking about love from above. He's talking about sacrifice. He's talking about service. He's talking about friendship. You know, it's got to be something more than that. So I get the sense that the love that Jesus is talking about is deeper than how I use the word. You know, I feel like what Jesus is talking about is more important than how I feel about ice cream and puppy dogs and afternoon naps. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I'm like, man, there must be more weight to the love that he's... I throw that word around all the time. And then we read this in Galatians 5:16-17. He says, I say then walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit. The Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. And then Paul goes on to list the fruit of the Spirit. And what he is saying is, y'all, this stuff, this fruit... is not natural. He's saying this fruit, it isn't worldly. He's saying this fruit, it's spiritual. It's not of the flesh. It's of the Spirit. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And so we got to start asking, well, then what is this love then that is supernatural? How do we really define it? What is it? And the Bible is very specific. It's one word in Greek. The word is agape. It's agape. Y'all, it is a covenantal kind of love. It's a promissory kind of love. It's a love that says, don't care what you do, this one's on me. It's a love that says, I am committed to you and I will love you no matter what. It's not a love that runs hot and cold. It's not a love based on mood or circumstance or performance. Rather, it is a love that is birthed out of the very nature of God himself who is unchanging. How good is that? That's the love. Now listen, that's the love that God has for us. Here's the hard part. That's also the love he calls us to share. Woo! Change, right? Y'all went from amen to ouch. Ouch. The best description of that love is found in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll put it on the screen. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You're asking yourself right now as we read through it, oh gosh, am I that way? Right? Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And y'all, this is how God loves us. Right? Just think about it with me. How patient has God been with you? We start on the list. How patient has God been with you? How long has he loved you and pursued you in spite of your sin and rebellion? Long time. Right? What about kindness? How kind has God been towards you? That word speaks of benevolence or charity. So let me ask you a question. What has God given you that you have not earned or deserved? I don't know. Forgiveness, sonship, eternal life. Right? We start going down the list. Let me ask you another question. Has God ever been arrogant or boastful or envious of you? Of course not. God chose to come in the flesh to serve you so that you could be saved. It's the opposite, right? What about your sin? Does God keep a record of everything you've done wrong so he can constantly throw it in your face and remind you of how crummy you are? No. God came to cover all that, right? That's what he came to do. Does God take joy in your failure or your mistakes? No. Does God make you deal with everything on your own? Does he just say to you, suck it up, buttercup? We do. He doesn't. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Right? Does God, because of your sin and your past, ever write you off? No. He always sees your potential and has hope for your future. Does God ever fail? Does God ever give up? Will he ever just walk out on you and say, that's it, I'm done? Does he ever unfriend you? No. God never cancels you. That's not who he is. You see the difference between that and what our world calls love, right? It's massive. It's a huge difference. This kind of leads us to our final point this morning. A huge part of abiding in Jesus, then, is choosing to regularly reflect on what he has done for you and allowing that to change how you treat others. A huge part of abiding in Jesus, then, is choosing to regularly reflect on what he has done for you and allowing what he has done for you to change how you treat others. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Right? That's the source. We love because of what he's done for us, because he chose us. And by the way, he did. Right? Jesus makes it really clear in John 15 that he chose us first, that he loved us first, right? John 15:16, he says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain. And he chose us because he loves us, right? Now, the big churchy word for that, for God choosing us, is predestination. You don't have to be super knowledgeable of the topic, but it basically means that God in his sovereignty, that's another big churchy word, that means God in his godness, God in his power, God in his wisdom, God in his might, chose you before you were ever thought of, and he had a plan that he has put into action to make you his own, right? And the Bible says that that God made you in his image. And the fact that you and I were created in the image of God is a big deal, because it means that God gave us all of his communicable attributes. Like, why are we using such big words this morning? Communicable means you can catch it, like a cold, right? You catch it. There are certain attributes of God that we can catch and certain that we can't catch. Like, we can't catch the omnipresent thing, which would be pretty cool. It'd be awesome. We can't be omnipotent, right? We don't get that part. But there are some attributes of God that we can catch, and the biggest of those is what we're talking about this morning, and that is that truth that God is love, and we are created in his image. But here's the thing about love that you've already experienced, but maybe you've forgotten. It's that love can't be forced. Can't. In love, there's always a choice. You guys remember this from middle school, right? I don't know, guys, I don't know what her name was. Boys, I don't know, or ladies, I don't know what his name was. There was somebody at some point that you were crushing on, and you wrote the note, right? Yes or no, just check it. And they came back, and they said no. They passed it around to the class first, so everyone else knew it was no before you got it. Is that anyone else? Is it just me? Okay, it's fine. It's fine. Love can't be forced, or it's not love. That's why the Bible, in places, God tells Joshua to tell the Israelites, choose this day whom you will serve. It's why we read passages in Paul's writings, that Paul, who speaks of predestination on a pretty regular basis, that he also says, so I'm telling you, choose to put off the old self and to put on the new self, or daily make that choice to put on the full armor of God, right? And so we see this tension throughout Scripture, and these two aren't fighting one another. There's tension, but they just go hand in hand, and it's all part of who God is and who He's created us to be. So what I'm saying to you this morning about your life, about your impact on eternity, your treasure in heaven, is this: God has a plan for you. And He wants to bring about that plan. He will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But listen to me, on some level, a level that maybe we don't fully comprehend, on some level, we still have to choose to love. Right? Y'all, on some level, every day, we have to choose to love God and to worship Him for all that He has done for us. Amen? We have to choose to praise Him for the fact that He has redeemed us, that He has rescued us from our slavery to sin, that He has adopted us and made us His children, that He's given us an inheritance that's eternal. We have to choose to thank Him for that. And listen, moment by moment every day, we have to choose to share that love with others through every interaction we have. You know, I did some statistics searching this week. Do you know that they say on average, man, this is loose, y'all, so give me some grace. Let's say on average that most people have 12 to 25 interactions with people per day. 12 to 25, somewhere in between. So we kind of took the median of that and we multiplied that out by how many days are in a year. That means that on average we have 7,000 opportunities per year to have potentially kingdom-altering interactions. Just think about that. You have 7,000 potential kingdom-altering interactions at your feet every year. Wow. So, let me ask you a question. How you doing? How you doing? Are you taking advantage of them? Are people seeing the love of God just oozing out of you based on what we read at 1 Corinthians 13, that definition? So here's what I want to do this morning. It's a little different. Never done it before. I don't know. Just thought it'd be fun. We're going to take a little quiz. It's for you. Don't share your answers with anybody else, all right? And by the way, some of you, how many of you, like, you know yourself, every time you take a test, you're really hard on yourself, huh? All right, so grade with a curve. Give yourself a couple extra points, all right? Just love you. This is just meant to be. Like, I put this together to help you, not to harm you. I wrote a little note here. It's to help you, not to harm you. And it's just a quick little personal checkup on the spiritual fruit of love. And so I want you to answer these questions. So in your digital notes, you're going to type in the number 1 to 10. And so 1 means not at all or not very. So 1 is not so much. 10 is like pretty good. Like almost all the time, this is evident in my life, right? So 1, not very evident. 10, like pretty much all the time, killing it here, right? You guys following me? Okay. So here's the key. I'm going to fly through these on purpose. You only get 10 seconds to answer them. Why? Your first thought, probably the best thought, all right? So you overanalyzers, take that. All right, here we go. All right, very quickly, we're going to do it. So question number 1, ready? How patient are you with others? Are you as patient with them as God is with you? 10 seconds, go. All right? How patient are you with others? 1, not very patient with them. 10, I'm as patient with them as God is with me, okay? Question number 2, move on. Have you circled it yet? I told you, you get 10 seconds. Let's go, keep up. All right, question number 2, how kind are you with others? Are you benevolent? Do you consistently extend gracious towards others? Not very much. Pretty much all the time. Are you gracious? Come on, circle it. Write down the number if you're doing digital notes. All right? We good? 3, 2, 1. On to the next one. Here we go. Number 3. Do you celebrate with others when they succeed or receive things that you don't have? Whoo! Man, they just got that new car I wanted.
Man, their house is so much nicer than mine. Man, they have that pot. Their kids are obedient. Oh, come on. 110, quickly. Number four. Oh, here we go. Are you humble and open to the idea that someone may know more than you and actually have a better approach? Super open? Not so much. They're idiots. I know what I'm doing. One or ten, all right? Okay, number five. We're moving on. Let's go. Circle them quickly. Are you polite and able to interact with people you don't agree with? All right? If you unfriended everyone on Facebook 4 years ago, you're a one. I love you. I'm just answering the question for you. That's who you are, all right? Don't try to say you're a five, you're a one. You did it, own it, all right? Or a 10. They're still there in the feed. Okay, number six. It also counts for hiding them, y'all. Love you. Okay, number six. If given the opportunity, do you promote the well-being or interest of others above yourself? Not usually. I want my way first. Or nope, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to serve. I'm going to give it up to them. So write down your answer there. Whoo, number seven. Oh, it's feeling good, isn't it? Are you good-tempered? All right? Good-tempered. One is not at all. Three is still not great. Five is like, it depends on the day and how much coffee I've had. Right? Ten is like, man, people see Jesus when I walk in a room. All right, number eight. Do you easily let go of offensive and of offenses and forgive others, even if they don't ask for it? Whoo! Do you easily let go of offenses and forgive others, even if they don't ask for it? Number nine, very similar. Do you bear others' offenses or rudeness? Do you bear it? You just take it upon yourself. Well, they're rude. It's fine. I'm not. This is choosing to be unoffended. Right? You're choosing to be unoffended. And then number 10. Ready? Do you continue to pray and reach out to difficult people? Because love never ends, right? It never fails. So do you continue? One, not so much. One is like, I've left them to God. 10 is like, I still feel responsibility to talk to them about Jesus because I think heaven is real. Okay. All right. So that's the quiz. That's a quiz. Y'all look up here because you should be done taking the quiz. How'd you do? You don't have to scream it out. How did you do? Okay. Now remember, some of you are tougher on yourselves than others. Say, why does it matter, Pastor? Here's why it matters. You guys see what this is? Can you tell? With the stage lights, what is this? It's an orange, right? It's not a lemon. It's not a huge orange. I wanted a bigger orange, but I didn't feel like going to the store this morning. So this is what we had. So it's an orange. Y'all, do you know what happened if I'd squeeze it? What would come out? Orange juice would come out, right? When I put pressure on it, squeeze it, orange juice would come out. So listen, all I did this morning was squeeze you a little bit. That's it. All I did this morning with that little checkup was apply a little bit of pressure and squeeze you a little bit, and you can see the results of what came out. So how are you doing? Right? A tree is known by its fruit. Jesus said, if you remain in me, my words remain in you, you're going to produce much fruit. So this is a sign. That's all it is. It's just a sign. It's just a guide. So what do we do if we look at the sign and we go, I got some serious work to do in this very first area of love, right? So what do we do? I want to talk about that with you. Number one, first and foremost, it may be that you need to do what I talked about at the beginning of the sermon. You might need to receive Jesus, right? Because guess what? You can't have spiritual fruit without the Spirit of God living in you. That doesn't happen until you believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so you can come to church, you can know churchy things, you can know all about Jesus, you can know, have lots of head knowledge, you could have been raised in church your whole life. That's always my favorite answer when I talk to people about their relationship with the Lord. Like, I was born a Christian. No, you were not. You were born a sinner. Study your Bible. So was I.
I mean, it's okay. We're all born into sin. Adam and Eve sinned. We inherited it. So we were born into sin and rebellion. So you may have been born in church. You may have been born with a knowledge that there is a Jesus. Your parents may have prayed with you and sung over you. But that personal relationship with the Lord only happens when you put your faith and trust in Him. That's how that works. That's how that works. Now, I don't want to be ignorant about all the stuff going on in our world. Right? Somebody asked me last week about, are you keeping up with all the stuff in the Middle East? Well, yeah, but here's why we're not diving into Revelation, because Jesus says that even the Son of Man doesn't know the day or the hour. But here's what I know. People need to know Jesus for when the day comes. Right? So that's what I know. And so that's why our church is so focused on bringing people into the kingdom, helping them abide in Christ, because when you abide in Christ, you multiply. Right? So that's the way that it works. So when we abide in Jesus, other people see the love of God through us. They might understand that they need a personal relationship. It changes everything. So first and foremost, if you took this quiz and you go down and you're like, man, you're all zeros, which zeros wasn't even supposed to be on there. I realized, like, if you got the list, it said zero. But it's 1 to 10. So if you got a zero, I'm so sorry. You're really hard on yourself. But maybe you're, like, just honest. Like, there's none of that. So start here. And just say, Jesus, I don't have any of this in my life, and I just want to make sure that you are in charge of me, man. I understand who you are. I know that stuff, but I want a personal relationship with you. Would you come into my life, forgive me of my sin? He will do it. He will do it. So that's the first thing. Second thing, going to look very much like last week. Man, examine your life. That's what this is, right? All right, write it down somewhere in your notes. Orange, apply pressure. Guess what comes out? Orange juice. When life squeezes on you, when life squeezes on you, and it will and does, amen? Anybody have life squeeze on them some this week? Woo! It's great, isn't it? You're like, yeah! Let's go! Not really. You're like, please, just a little break. But that's not how it works. And if life squeezed on you this week, and what did not ooze out was love, then that's a sign, if you are a Christian, that you're not abiding in Jesus. So what do? You go back to last week. What are the four keys to abiding? Right? Pray without ceasing. Get in the Word. You have to know His commands. If you obey His commands, which is step three, then He's going to remain in you. You're going to remain in Him. Like, it's great. But to obey the commands, you got to know the commands, right? So I got to study. I've got to obey. That's the hard part. By the way, most of you, unless you just walked in and you've never heard this Jesus stuff before, the majority of you that have gone to church for, like, I don't know, over 5 years, you probably know more of the commandments than you think. It just goes down to step three. You got to do what they say. Jesus said, "The man who puts my words into practice is a wise man who built his house on the rock." All right, so we got to do what it says. And so go back to last week's sermon. Listen to it again. Go over the notes again. Like if you felt the pressure this morning and love is not what poured out, then it's just a sign. I really got to go back and work on that abiding thing this week. I didn't like that's not what I was expecting, right? How many of you caught off guard this morning? Yeah, welcome to church. Last thing. Goes back to what we talked about last week, practice His presence. That's the key. All these things, this fruit that we're going to study, we're going to talk about, like, hey, this is what the fruit is. We're going to take looks at it, whether or not that's kind of oozing out of who we are. All of that is just meant to show us whether or not we're remaining well, whether or not we're abiding well. And y'all, if we're not, the singular most important thing you do with your life, love you. Like, some of you are so talented. Some of you are so much smarter than I am. God bless you. Like, you figure out all kind of deep financial things. Some of you are pouring into children. God bless you. That's love being poured out, because I hang out with them. I'm good for about 36 minutes. That's it. 37. I'm like, I think you should go to bed. They're like, it's 2 o'clock. It's okay. Naps are good. It's just evident what we need to do. So when I run out of patience, that is a sign that I'm not super thankful for how patient God has been with me. Amen? It's just a sign, right? When I want to write other people off, I forget that God has never written me off. What? Right? That God would unfriend me. Really? Right? So, it's just a sign. It's a symbol. It all goes back to last week. God, help me abide. So, real quick, super easy survey. How many of you this week, God just showed you some areas to work on? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks for loving us. Thanks for being so good to us. Thanks for the power of your word. It doesn't return empty or void. And that's all we did this morning. We just opened your word. We went to passage after passage after passage that talked about this abiding thing, that talked about the fruit that should be produced if we're doing it. And then we literally just went through the definition of what love is, of what the first fruit is, and we asked ourselves, is this evident in us? And God, if it's not, here's my special prayer this morning for everybody that is super hard on themselves. Let them not leave here beating themselves up, but let them leave here being encouraged to abide deeper in you this week than they did last week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.